There's something in the heart of God that he always wants to meet with his people. And that's exactly what he did in what we know of as the tabernacle. My name is Chris Montgomery, pastor at Fraser Church, and thank you for joining us on this 8-week journey as we learn how to enter his presence.
Welcome to day 39 of the tabernacle, the barrier of the veil. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Our text for today is Exodus 26, verse 33. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps, and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. As we introduced in yesterday's devotion, the veil represented the barrier of sin separating us from God. This barrier was destroyed by Jesus through his death on the cross. While all seven furnishings of the tabernacle served a ministry purpose, the veil provided none. We learned yesterday that the veil had spiritual meaning and representation, but it functioned physically solely to prevent the priest from accidentally entering the Holy of Holies. To pass through the veil, with the exception of the high priest on the Day of Atonement, meant certain death. However, the death of Jesus destroyed the separation. Through Jesus, we can meet with God in the holiest places. Philip Ryken and R. Kent Hughes give insight into the barriers represented by the veil. The tabernacle was the one place in the entire world where people could enter God's presence. God had come down to live with his people. However, there was almost no way for them to get in. The facility had limited access. Most Israelites only saw the curtains and other furnishings when the priest moved the tabernacle from place to place. But they never got to tour the place. Only the priest could enter, and only when they had some priestly duty to perform. And as soon as they entered, they were confronted with another curtain, the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. According to the Jewish Talmud, this veil was 4 inches thick and took more than 100 priests to move. Nothing symbolized Israel's limited access more clearly than the cherubim on the veil. The first time cherubim are mentioned in Scripture is Genesis 3. After Adam fell into sin, he had to be prevented from eating from the tree of life. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. That's from Genesis 3, verses 23 and 24. These cherubim blocked the entrance back to Eden. The cherubim on the tapestries and the tabernacle represented something similar. In a symbolic manner, they guarded the way to God. This was all designed to show the supreme holiness of God. God is pure in his majesty and pristine in his righteousness. He is also just, which means that his holiness requires him to punish sin. Therefore, we need to be careful how we approach him. The Israelites knew this because they had seen God in action. They had seen what he did to the Egyptians back at the Red Sea, and they had heard his law from the mountain. They knew that he was a holy God who demanded perfect obedience. But they also knew they were sinners. So they understood perfectly well why, even when God came close, they still had to be separated from him. Probably they were relieved that they didn't have to go into the tabernacle, and thus that the way to God was almost closed. Almost closed, because there was one way to enter. The curtains in the tabernacle were doorways, after all, so they were designed to let God's people in. The way they could enter God's presence was to send a representative to go for them, first Moses, and later the high priests. And the way their representative penetrated the veil was by carrying an atoning sacrifice for sin, his sin, as well as the sins of his people. This was the only way. The tabernacle did not have a back door. The only way for unholy sinners to enter the presence of a holy God was by means of a blood sacrifice. The God who lived in the tabernacle is the same God who rules today. He is still the great King who sits enthroned above the cherubim. He is still the Lord of all the earth, and his character has not changed. He is still the holy God who demands perfect obedience and the just God who punishes sin. He is as awesome today as he was in the days of Moses. And we are still separated from God by our sin. Sometimes people wonder why they don't have a closer relationship with God. They're on a spiritual quest, but they are never quite able to find God. They cry out to God when they're in trouble, but they're never quite sure whether God is listening when they pray. If he's there at all, God seems distant. And what causes the distance, keeping us away from God, is our sin. Trust today in Jesus' power to break down the barrier of sin in your life. Confess any sins to him today and repent. Seek God's forgiveness, and he will draw you back into his presence. Some questions to consider. In what ways have you witnessed sin cause a barrier between you and God? How can following these truths lead to the breaking down of barriers between you and God? From 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And finally, what does the following scripture teach you about drawing near to God? From James 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.